Today is December 6th, 2012. So we were trying to follow a particular pattern in the past year regarding the mitzvah of Gid Anosha. Let's just quickly review because some of you were not here. But the mitzvah of Gid Anosha is, as the art school translates, the displaced sinew. Others translate it as the sciatic nerve. I don't know if that's accurate or not accurate. If it's not accurate, you gotta have nerve to do that. Okay, I'm sorry. But, boy, these puns are coming out on the tape. That's no good. Okay, so the mitzvah is basically Yaakov had a struggle with the Malach. The Malach couldn't overcome him, so he touched him on the side, on the thigh, and it displaced his Gid Anosha. And therefore, the pasuk says, "Al kein lo yoichlu bnei Yisrael Gid Anosha." Therefore, the Jewish people till today do not eat adayim azeh. Right? Until this day, we do not eat this displaced sinu. Now, Nosha is something. Not something that moved. Yeah. we'll see in a few moments. It's interesting that gid, which is a sinu, is alluded to by the Chazal as things that are difficult, that are tough. A gid is something that's tough. So things that are difficult to understand will be referred to as gid. We'll see in a moment the allusion. But on a very basic level, we had certain Mefarshim. I'm sure they themselves, the Mefarshim themselves, have a deeper understanding. But on a very basic understanding of those Mefarshim, we had mentioned the first few sources on the sheet that it's. One is that it was an honor, in honor of Yaakov, we don't eat it. Another one is to remember his might and the honor that he overcame the Malach. Okay, and the Rajba said that this was a sign of something that was going to protect the future generations, as in the thigh representing Yaitze Yerechai, Yaitze Yerach Yaakov. We have that expression in the Torah. The descendants are referred to those that emerge from his thigh. It's a more refined way of saying, I'm not saying children. Okay. Then we had the chinuch, which was. That is the subject of disagreement. Most mefarshim say it was a reality. There are mefarshim that say that it was a dream. But in any case.
It was real that he was London.
Yeah. Now. Again, when a person fights with a malach, and as we saw in the chinuch takes this to an even deeper level and says that this malach was the angel of Esav, which the Gemara tells us the satan, the malach hamaves, the angel of death, the yetzahara, sarei shel Esav, they're all the same person. The purpose is for him to create a counterforce to the forces of good, which Klal Yisrael represent, and. As we mentioned then, they are also shluchim of Hashem. We have to view them as public enemy number one, but they're there for the purpose of strengthening us, like a personal trainer would put weights on the barbells, you know. Okay. And the message the chinuch said, I'm just going to summarize, but the message that the chinuch said was that the same way Yaakov Avinu struggled, we know Ma'aseh is similar banam. Everything that happens to the forefathers is a paradigm for future generations for the Jewish people. We will also struggle with the forces of evil in many different variations and on many different levels. But in the end, we will triumph. But at the same time, the forces of evil will have some effect on us. There's many different explanations as to how. But they will have some sort of effect on us, whichever way it manifests itself. But in the end, the same way for Yaakov Avinu, it says, "Vayizrach lo Hashemesh," Hashem shone the sun for him so that he should be healed, the Jewish people as well. And that's when the chinuch says the profound words, "Kimoy shemotzinu ba'av," like we find by the Father. We should have bumper stickers that say these words. But certainly put it on your fridge. Kemoi shemotzinu ba'av, like we find by the Father, shezar chaloy Hashemesh, that Hashem shone the Son for him, lerfuasei for his healing, v'noisha minatzar, and he was then had a salvation from his pain. Kain yizrach lanu Hashemesh al Mashiach, so too Hashem will shine the Son the great light of Mashiach, v'yirpa'enu, he will heal us, mitzarenu, from our pain, both physical and spiritual, v'yigalenu, and he will redeem us, amen, b'mehirah v'yomenu. Very, very profound words, very consoling words, and beautiful words. I'll just point out, the Ramban says a fascinating thing. It says, by the struggle with Yaakov, it says, v'yeovek ish imoy. It's a great discussion as to what that word vayeovek. They struggled, Rashi says they struggled, he raised dust. There's all sorts of different explanations, vayeovek, like avak is dust, yes? The Ramban brings down in the name of Unklus that the translation of the word vayeovek is v'eshtadel, which is to attempt, hishtadlus. We're familiar with the word, it's our input, our hishtadlus. And in Parshas Kisetze, when it speaks about a woman that is seduced, it says that the words v'chiyifate. It's actually not in it. It's in Mishpatim. Yifate. It's the translation. The interpretation by Unklus is arei yishtadel. When a person attempts to persuade, it's persuasion. That's what it's about. The struggle that the Malach had was with chibuk. With when a person tries to appease somebody else, tries to seduce them, they embrace them. This is what the Malach Hamavis tried to do. This is what the Malach of Esav tried to do, is to seduce Yaakov with temptations. And that's representative, as we know, this is symbolic, like the Chinuch said and others, that this is symbolic of the struggle between the Yetzirah and Klal Yisrael. It's very, very important to keep this in mind, this Ramban and this Unklus, because as we know from the Brisker Rav, the Brisker Rav, I believe, has a piece on the Tefillah that Yaakov Avinu asked the Rebbeinu Shlom. He said, "Atzileini na miyad achi, miyad Esav. Save me from my brother, from Esav." And he says that there's two ways that Esav and his different facets and his proxies can destroy us, an attempt to destroy us. One is by way of Esav, when he acts like a... And one is by way of acting like Achi, my brother. He said, Miyad Achi, Miyad Esav. He said it twice, Miyad, because we know that it's even more potent, the fact that he tries to befriend us, etc. So here, this is Vayeovek Ishamai was... again, a symbol of what was going to happen in the future, which is that the Yetzirah will attempt to seduce us, lure us, tempt us. That's the great struggle. And very often, sometimes he comes at us in a very forceful way, and sometimes it's very subtle and we don't realize it. And Yaakov Avinu asked Miyad Achi first, because, as the Brisker Rav says, because when he acts to me as my friend, this is a much, much greater threat. And I'm just worthy of mentioning, that's the pshat that we say in the Haggadah, this is what stood up for us, as many kashas, what stood up for us, right? And a little later on it says, the simple explanation is, not once, not only one time did a nation gang up against us and Hashem saved us. So the simple explanation is, this is what stood up for us. What stood up for us? Hashem, the same Hashem that saved us in Mitzrayim, stood up for us consistently over the years, that when the nations rose up against us, he saved us. So some of the Mefarshim say, and very poignantly, you know what stood up for us? You know what saved us? The fact that lo yachad b'lvad amar aleinu l'chaleseinu, the fact that in every generation there is someone that gets up, there is a nation that gets up, that rises up, at least one, that rises up to destroy us, and that keeps us in place. In the same vein, the Kli Yakar says a fascinating thing, that this was the struggle between the evil and the good. He says a very interesting, very, very interesting spin on this. The spin that he puts on it is that Yaakov Avinu's mistake here was that he went back for Pachim Ketanim. The Torah stresses, the Chazal stressed that it was Pachim Ketanim. It was small jugs, small utensils. In other words, he was trying to be meticulous about his material and worldly possessions. And the struggle here was, and the lesson Yaakov learned was, that Torah and material pursuits are opposites. diametrically opposed. You cannot pursue both. As Rabbi Sol Salanter used to say, you can have Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBo, you can have both worlds, but you cannot have Ahavas Olam HaZeh and Ahavas Olam HaBo. You can't love both worlds. The pursuit of both, to going back for Pachim Ketana means, small jugs, means I love my possessions so much, even though there's many, many explanations of why those possessions are so dear to him, and very beautiful explanations, but according to this interpretation of the Kli Yakar, the fact that they were Pachim Ketanim was a lesson to Yaakov, was a mistake, and from that lesson, what happened was he was maimed due to that. It was a lasting effect only until the point where he was healed, but because at that point he learned his lesson. And it says, Yaakov, Vayava Yaakov Shalem, he came Shalem, complete to Shechem, which means eventually, Vayizochei HaShemesh, Hashem shined the Shemesh, and he healed him from this ailment. But the fascinating spin that he puts on this is that when the Malach touched him, what he did was he caused him the inability to be able to delve very deeply for the average Jew, for the average descendant of Yaakov, to delve very deeply into esoteric, mystical, Kabbalistic things. Which means, the Gemara tells us many times, and this is what I mentioned before, that Gidim are symbolic of something tough to understand. We have that, Rashi mentions it in Parshas Yisrael. It says, Sageid Livnei Yisrael. Sageid is Darm Kashim Kigidim. Things that are very tough, like, to understand. So Chazal referred to things that are difficult to understand as Gidim, and the intellectual digestion thereof is referred to as achila, as eating. The Gemara says a person should not eat. Four went into the pardes to eat. Four went into the orchard to eat. It's referring to exploring these ideas in great depth in the hidden Torah. And what happened was until that point. Had nothing happened with this struggle, then Yaakov Avinu's descendants would have been free to explore the hidden Torah at will. Every Jew, when the Malach HaMavis hurt Yaakov, he injured him. It caused a frailty within the ability of the average person in Klal Yisrael to really appreciate and digest these things that are kasha, can get them that difficult, like gid. Very interesting spin on this, but he says, certainly after the struggle, then Klal Yisrael, like the struggle that we're going through today, eventually in the times of Mashiach, will be able to regain that ability to truly delve into it. Today, it's only reserved for those very unique individuals, like Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who was so distant from the pleasures of the world, as the Gemara says in Brachas and elsewhere, that certain very, very unique individuals are able to pursue these to great depths, but not the average person. Interesting that that's his take on this, but it's only a take based on the fact that this struggle was a more fundamental one than what would seem on the surface. There happened to have been an ish there that he struggled with. Yes?
How are his children... How were they hurt from this if they were born before the 70s?
Well, this is, again, this is Maisa of Issim Labonim, even those that were living. This is a pattern that's being set for the Jewish people in the future, regardless, born, not born. It's not necessarily a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing that has an effect regardless whether we're born or not. We then, yes?
For the Pachim Ketanim, I mean, like you said, there's different interpretations. Is there a way to, like, I'm always bothered about to combine them, or I don't know if it's within the realm of what you're talking about, but you know, we have two contradictory things. Some say that he went back and it was a wonderful thing because he values his property more than himself. So what do we do with that?
Yeah, those are definitely different interpretations, and they're beautiful interpretations. Some say that it was a very special thing that Yaakov did, and Rashi says it himself. Rashi says, brings down the Chazal, that tzaddikim chavivin alav m'mayinam yaisim yigufam, their money, for it's not a very coarse, it's not for a coarse reason, but their money is more valuable to them than their bodies. Rabbi Bieberfeld said something over on Shabbos, Mashal Shud, is a beautiful mashal from the Mashgiach. It's worthwhile to say it over, it'll take 10 seconds, but if you went to the Rebbein Shlomo and said, I have nothing, I need a tire for my car. I just got a flat tire, and I don't really have the money to pay for it. Next morning, you wake up, you open your door, and on the doorstep is a tire wrapped in a ribbon that says, have a great day, signed God, right? That tire to you is going to be exceptionally meaningful because you davened for it, and here it is, right? So it was a direct gift from Hashem in response to your needs. So tzaddikim understand that the truth is that everything we receive is tailor-made for us. Everything we get is custom made for us. So when they have that much deeper appreciation for things than we do, everything to them is going to be dear. Okay, that's, how to jive the two, I'm not sure. They're certainly both important values. I'm not sure that they do jive, but okay. The next pshat that we'll focus on is the chizkuni, which is the bottom of your page. By the way, there's a beautiful Ralbag here, the second to last source on the first column. I really don't know myself what he's saying, but it seems to be very profound. If anybody has a pshat in those words, I'll be very grateful if you could explain it to me. It seems like he's saying something very deep, and I just wasn't zeichet to understand it. Perhaps if I look at it again in your schus, be able to share that with you, we'll try. Okay, lean under. The Chizkuni says like this, we mentioned this last time, I believe, and that is that Kaloimar, let's see that last source on the first column. Bidin hu shiyesh liknais. It is justified, it is appropriate that the Jewish people should be fined. The lanoish bnei Yisrael, to punish the Jewish people, me'achilas gid anoshe, not to eat the gid anoshe, which has caused many, many troubles over the years in not being able to eat the hind of an animal. But this difficulty, this inconvenience is appropriate. It's an appropriate response. Why? Shehinichu aviem hoylech yachid. They allowed their father to go by himself. They did not escort him. Kedechsiv, like it says, right prior to this struggle, it says, Vayivaser Yaakov Vaday, and Yaakov remained alone. Vehein hayu gibayrim. They were powerful people. V'lahem lahamtin aviyim. They should have remained and waited for their father, L'sayayim instarech, and to help him if he needs. Instead, let him go by himself. Vehem layosulay levaya. They did not do for him levaya. They didn't escort him. V'huzak al yodem, and he was maimed because of that. That was the implication here, is that had they been there, they would have been able to save him. Umikan va'elech, and from here on, yelohem lezecher, this will be a reminder to them, meaning us Jewish people, if we refrain from eating the gid anoshe, will be a reminder. V'yuz rizim b'mitzvos levaya. We will be motivated and zealous in our fulfillment of the mitzvah of Levaya, of escorting. L'kach liva Yaakov es Yosef, and that's why Yaakov escorted Yosef. Now, we asked last time, I believe, where do we find that Yaakov escorted Yosef? Now, number one, disclaimer number one is that this really is from the Balei HaTesis. This Chizkuni is really from the Balei HaTesis, and he says so here on this pasuk, that therefore we have the gid anoshe, which is the component of the body that will remind us of escorting, because it has to do with the moving the leg, and therefore we have this, we refrain from eating this. So now the real truth is that there is a discussion as to where we find this. The Daz Zakenim himself in Parshas Vayigash says that Yaakov did escort Yosef. Again, he said in our Parsha Vayishlach, it's because he earned greater appreciation for this mitzvah, right? He saw what happened to him since his children did not escort him. But there it says, Vayishalchehu. And he sent him away. He sent him off. He sent Yosef off to go check after the brothers. And he derives from that word that it brings sources, proofs from elsewhere, that it means sending somebody off is only with an escort. So he actually raises this question that was raised last time, but you just know it's dealt with. Now, the interesting thing is, actually beautiful pshat, is we know that coming up in the next couple of parshias, we have this this whole story that unfolds, this drama with Yosef, and in the end, they have to reveal to Yaakov. He sends a message to Yaakov that he's still alive. Ani Yosef, I'm Yosef. And he sends with the brothers a message that has in it a hint to Yaakov that it's actually true. What's the message? Well, the brothers know. After he reveals himself to the brothers, now he sends a message to Yaakov. And hidden in this message is a hint to something that will convince Yaakov that Yosef is, in fact, the viceroy of Egypt is, in fact, Yosef. What's that hint?
The
Agolos. The wagons.
No, but the question I have is, do the brothers realize that there's...
I don't know. I'm not sure it makes that much of a difference. But the bottom line, is certainly for our discussion here, but the bottom line is he leaves, Chazal tell us, he sends wagons. Why do he send wagons? Somewhat cryptic. It's somewhat unusual. Like, it reminds his father of the last sugya, the last discussion they had in Torah when Yosef left, which was Egla Rufa. So therefore he sent wagons. What's the whole significance? What's that?
They're cognates.
Yes, they're cognates. Thank you, Professor. Dr. Dorman. You see, you have a background. You can always use it to strengthen your Torah. Baruch Hashem. Never goes to waste. Aside from all the good you did till now. Now you're able to use it even though you're retired. Okay. So he says an unbelievable thing. Why did Yosef send this message? Why did he send the message of Agola? It was an even deeper message than we think. And this is what he says. He says, since Yaakov, when he left him, Yaakov deliberately escorted Yosef. And in the interaction, it says there, Yosef said to his father, Yaakov Avinu, the great Yaakov Avinu, you're going to escort me. It doesn't feel funny. It's not right. So Yosef says, this is what the Balei Tesis say. Yosef said, Chazar bach, go back, Tate. What are you doing? V'omar la Yaakov, and Yaakov said to him beautiful words that are found in the Gemara. Bini, my son, gedayla levaya. Levaya is tremendous. Gedayla levaya. Why? She'olea nitaisva parsha achas b'teira. Because of the mitzvah of levaya, an entire parsha was brought into the Torah. And what is that? Tichsiv yodeinu le'shavcha. Our hands did not spill this. This is the parsha of Egla Rufa. What's the parsha of Egla Rufa? That a person dies, is between two cities, and they say, can't even come out, and they do a whole thing, and they say these words, our hands did not spill his blood, which means we didn't let him off without, Rashi tells us, without food and without levaya, without escort. In other words, what we can understand from those words, if we don't properly show people our appreciation for them, even though they're an unsolicited guest, they come to your house, you didn't ask them to come. No, if you don't escort them, oh, it's a terrible thing. I always say to people, sometimes we have an opportunity to do things for people that they will remember forever. So for us, it's a few minutes, and it's something that for them, they will remember forever. One example is a Sudas Preda. I always felt like in yeshiva, a goodbye party. You know what a goodbye party is? Basically, you're saying to the person, it's gonna make a difference that you're not here. And the things that people say, it takes a few minutes. In yeshiva, we used to do this all the time. When a person left the yeshiva after a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it was, the more years they were there, the more food there was. Actually, the more happy people were that they were going, they would have increased food. No, but just kidding about that. But we used to, and people used to get up and speak, and how wonderful this person is, and how much they're going to miss them. And I think that sort of thing makes such a profound impact on a person when they hear that other people care about them. They'll remember it forever. They'll remember it forever. So here's a situation where we're being taught this lesson. The lesson of Egla Rufa is that every person is precious and you have an opportunity to make an impact on this person and his self-worth. And who knows, the fact that you didn't escort him, that caused him. Perhaps he didn't have the self-confidence. Perhaps he didn't to fend off any danger. He didn't have the appreciation for life, perhaps. Whatever it may be, there's an opportunity there to do this for this person and we haven't done it. That's the Egla Rufa that we're talking about. So there was an interaction here between a give and take between Yosef and Yaakov about the mitzvah of Levaya. So that's why he sent him a message to remind him of Egla Rufa. That's the parsha we were dealing with. Not that they were sitting and learning the halachas of Egla Rufa, but that's the last thing that they were involved in. They had a whole discussion about the mitzvah of Levaya. We had an opportunity here to teach. The Gemara says in Brachas, interestingly, that Hanifter Mechavera, if a person is parting with his friend, he should only do it mitoch dvar halacha, because in that way he'll remember him. Eventually, the halacha will come up, and then he'll remember his friend. But here's a beautiful illustration of this. So that was the lesson that he said. So the question is really.
You're good.
The question is if you're good. No, I know you're good. I want to know if you have time, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just finish this little idea. The question is, what is so important about Levaya? So we explained here that the idea of making someone feel significant. So I want to share with you an unbelievable perspective on this. The Gemara says like this. First of all, the Gemara says, and this is halacha and Shulchan Aruch, that kaifin l'levaya. We could force a person, we could force people to be malava. It's a big shaila if it's a mitzvah on bezdin, if it's a mitzvah on individuals, whatever the case may be. Kaif and levaya, you force, it's such a very important mitzvah. Why? Sheschar halavaya ein lashir. The reward for levaya has no bounds. Why? So I'll share with you, I just finished giving you a shir about how we can no longer delve into the depths of the secrets of the Torah, but in any case, in one of the Sfarim that is not specifically related to Zohar or Sisrei Torah, it quotes a Zohar. The Zohar says like this: it says when a person does the mitzvah of levaya of escorting his friend, so the balabayis by bringing in a guest, he has with him the Shechina, because this is exactly what the Rebbeinu Shlom did. Avraham Avinu went, it's even greater than Shechina, right? So he has with him the Shechina. Now what happens? When he escorts the person, what he's doing is he's dragging the Shechina with him to escort the guest as he goes along. And the Shechina therefore remains with the guest. Not the guest. The guest is not connected to the Shechina. The balabayas, by bringing in the guest, is engaging in something that's even greater than Shechina, means the Shechina is with him. And then when he escorts the person, this is what's going on behind the scenes, he then transfers some of the Shechina to escort this person along the way. And that becomes a shmira, the Svarim say. That becomes a protection for him. So now we know a little bit of the background of what's going on by Egla Arufa. We didn't spill his blood. Why? Because we didn't refrain from giving him escort and food. No food, and he died. Okay, we understand. We didn't escort him. What's the pshat? So I gave a somewhat of an explanation, but here's an unbelievable explanation. Because when you escort a person, you have the Shechina with you. You're then giving the Shechina over to that person, or giving him some of the Shechina, and that provides him with a protection. Now he's faced with a situation where it's just life-threatening. He's able to be saved. Unbelievable. So we do have one more column here on the source sheet, which we'll get to, but I just wanted to end with, we have like 2 minutes. A most unbelievable vart on this situation with the Malach. We have to remember what happened after this struggle. What was the result of this struggle? What was the result of this struggle? You know what happened out of this struggle? Yaakov Avinu got his name Yisrael. Is that correct? Why? The pasuk says, Ki sarisa im elekim v'manashim vatucho. You struggled with elekim, it's a malach, manashim and people, Esav Lavan, vatucho, and you succeeded. Yes? Now if I asked you a question, there's two words. There's sarisa, which is to struggle, and there's vatucho. Which word is the word that the word Yisrael is derived from? Sarisa or vatucho? Tucho means you succeeded. Which one? First one, sarisa. But if I asked you rationally, which one would you think should be the one that we are reminded of all the time? We triumphed. Gewaltig! We should be called the Tuchelim or something like that. Doesn't sound good, but that's not the only reason why we're not called Tuchelim. The nation of Tuchelim. So the Belzer Rebbe said this pshat. I don't know which Belzer Rebbe, but I want to tell you, I once went through a situation where a member of my family went through an operation. It was a very difficult operation. It was a transplant, and the donor was also from the family, and the result was not, unfortunately, it did not work out. And I was very, very disappointed. I put a tremendous amount of effort and research, and the whole family was into it, and we were really hoping that this family member would have a much brighter future, Bez Hashem, they will have. But it was very, very disappointing. And when Rabbi Bieberfeld told me over this vart, when he told me this vart, this carried me through this situation. I told it to the donor of the kidney, and I told it to the recipient. It's an unbelievable inspiration. Listen to this carefully. Said the Belzer Rebbe, you can become a chassid just from this vart. I'm a litvak, but you can become a chassid just from this vart. The Belzer Rebbe said, 30 seconds, yes?
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, if you want to wear the badge of a Jew, and you want to wear it proudly, what do you have to be proud of? That you succeed in your struggles, or that you struggled? Says the Belzer Rebbe, you know what the greatest accolade for a Jew is? That he's here in this world to serve Hashem despite all the challenges, as we've spoken so much until now, especially with Gid Anoshe. That's our job, and whether we succeed or not in anything that we attempt to do is absolutely not our business. You want to wear the badge and be proud that you're an Eved Hashem, you're willing to fight the fight. That you're victorious or not is totally not your business. Whether it succeeds or not succeeds, you're doing the right thing, you do the research, you do the effort, you go out and try to earn a living, you make the sales, you do whatever it is, you break your head on the Gemara and you don't succeed, that's not your business. You're fighting the fight, you have the right to wear that beautiful badge that says, Ben Yisrael, Sarisa, you struggle. I think that's the most unbelievable message that one could take out of this parsha, and certainly out of this mitzvah. We remember this struggle, as the Chinuch says, this is the epic struggle between Klal Yisrael, the forces of Tov and the forces of evil. And as he says, Kein Yizrach Lanu Hashemesh, Hashem should eventually shine that great light upon us. It should happen speedily in our days. I want to wish everybody a good Shabbos.